Gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, even as I asked the younger people who were up here earlier about their purpose, it's a question for you as well. How often do you think about your purpose? How often do you think about your privilege? When John was in the wilderness baptizing, we are watching him as he works out his purpose. We are learning from him as he connects with God's purpose, and we are seeing how our own efforts at purpose allow us to become something new each day. We transcend ourselves, or the people we thought we might be, or the people that we were yesterday, and we become a part of the great story that unfolds around us as God's kingdom comes into its own. Now, most of us, at one time or another, find ourselves feeling stuck as we think about changes in our life direction. We might not be sure what is next. We might not be sure what our purpose really is. I have this friend who is now well into her 90s, who about 15 years ago started saying that she didn't really understand what her purpose in life had been. Now, she had been married to a pastor for years and years. She had taught countless people about poetry and dance and how we can use the motion of our bodies to worship God. She had been a leader in the women's movement in the church across the country at a national level, and yet she began saying in her mid-70s that she still wasn't sure what her purpose was. She was kind of stuck that day and in those weeks. Sometimes when we're stuck, we're trying to figure out whether we should take risks or we should play it safe. Do we do something that we're not sure about, that our passion leads us to, or do we stick with the safe and steady that we already know? Do we throw caution to the wind, or do we inch along hoping that our little bit will be enough? During this season, we are looking forward to the coming again of the Christ child. We're preparing, we're waiting, we're hoping, we wonder, and we have this time again to ask these questions. of ourselves and of each other, to have conversations around the table or around the tree. John, the baptizer, was living out his purpose as he spoke to people there alongside the Jordan. He knew that he was called to be out there teaching people about a new way of life. It's kind of a figurative thing that we read about here, encouraging people in the wilderness. The wilderness in the scriptures is a place where we go to figure things out. As we've read about the wilderness and Moses, the first time Moses was in the wilderness was when he was trying to figure out his purpose. He figured it out, he went back, and then he delivered the people of Israel from the hands of the slaveholders in Egypt. And then they were out in the wilderness together, again trying to figure out who they were, what they were supposed to do. And if you remember, they complained a little bit while they were out there. They weren't sure. They had taken this risk of following Moses, and then they began to wish they had stuck with the slaveholders they knew. John was out in the wilderness that day, and he was encouraging people to think about who they were and what they might become and how they might leave behind the grumbling and the murmuring and embrace a new way of life. So how do we apply that to our own lives? What do you long for? What do you search for? Have you said to yourself, well, I've done so many things and I've already reached this age, maybe I don't have any further purpose? Like my friend who was in her 70s when she began to say such things. Has your heart found a home? Have you become so comfortable that you have lost track of the newness of your journey? When was the last time that you sat down and thought about the changes that God might be leading you to make in your life? That's what John was talking about on the Jordan River. He said to the Sadducees and the Pharisees who thought they already had everything figured out and didn't have to do anything differently because they had already memorized all the rules and the regulations about their lives, he said, don't imagine that just because you followed all those rules that you have it made. Your journey is not over, and it's time for you to think again about what God is calling you to do. Just because you are descendants of Abraham, you are not safe. You too are called to a change. That's what repentance really is. Repentance is changing the direction of our lives. Whenever I read this passage, I do have to confess that I feel a little bit uncomfortable. I wonder what I need to change in my own life and how can I be more purposeful in my choices. A few years ago, there were some Harvard professors who were looking at education of girls in Zambia. In Zambia, education is not public, it is private, and so it has to be paid for. Families have to pay for everything. They have to pay to enroll in school, they have to pay for their books, they have to pay for uniforms, and the cost is pretty high for those families. And often the boys get preference over the girls. The boys get paid for first, and if the families can find money, they might send the girls. So these professors, or this one professor in particular at Harvard, wondered if it would be possible to teach the young women, the girls, to advocate on their own behalf, to negotiate, and to figure out a way how to pay for their education so that they could further their lives and have less poverty in future generations. So this story was on the radio. It was produced through a series called Goats and Soda, if you want to look it up. This is Madalitso's story. Madalitso's story. Madalitso knew that she needed to finish 10th grade, and she needed $150. That was the cost of tuition at Chinika Secondary School, a public high school in Lusaka, Zambia. Now, it's called a public school, but you still have to pay for it. Completing 10th grade was part of her dream so that she could go to medical school and become a doctor. But the 15-year-old girl's parents were broke. Yeah, I was alone, I was in my bedroom, and I started crying because Mom and Dad didn't have any money, she remembers. And I was like, maybe I'll never get to go to school again because Mom and Dad don't have any money. Zambia is one of the poorest countries in the world. For most Zambian schoolgirls, that's where their education might have ended. Most families there live below the poverty line. Most school kids, especially girls, never make it past 10th grade because their families cannot afford it. And so this could become an unchangeable fact of poverty. But Kathleen McGinn, a professor of negotiation at Harvard Business School, saw it not as an issue of poverty, but one as a problem of communication. She said that Zambian schoolgirls have to advocate for their interests in a way that American high schoolers rarely need to. In the United States, it's illegal to take your kids out of school before they reach a certain age. In Zambia, you have to pay to keep your kid in school. So there have been different programs over the years to help people keep kids in school in Africa. They've given money and grants and other incentives to the schoolgirls and their families, but the money always seems to run dry. So the Harvard professor, Miss McGinn, wondered, what if we taught the girls the arts of negotiation? What if we taught them how to act on their own behalf to find the money? The same kind of training we could give them is the same thing we could give Harvard MBA students and executives that come here to be better at their jobs in the professional world. Can we teach those techniques to these 13 and 14 and 15-year-old girls in this slum in the middle of Africa? So they tried it. And one of the things they taught the girls to do was to find out the other person's interests. Because when you're talking to somebody, if you know their interests and you know your interests, then you can begin to bring those interests together and you negotiate a good outcome for both parties. The girls were brainstorming ideas on how to ask open-ended questions to figure out what their parents really wanted and how to speak more effectively with their parents. And then they worked on figuring out how to be better negotiators with their relatives and friends of their parents. And what they realized was they needed to practice. So Matalitso took the course when it was first offered. She found it so useful that she went back again so that she could be even better at it. She walked an hour each day from her house in the slum to the school to learn. And she says, I learned a lot in negotiation. If you want to ask something, you need to tell them something that you want. You have to be clear. If she was going to cold call her relatives to ask for money, she'd have to be very clear about her intention to finish school. Because so many people drop out, especially girls, she didn't want them to think that she was going to take their money and then not follow through. She wanted to convince them that she was worth the investment. She took a few deep breaths. One day, she borrowed her mother's phone and she called her cousin. And she said, I was like, I passed my grade 9, but it's difficult to pay my school fees. And her cousin appreciated the direct conversation and gave her $55. She called other relatives and asked, and she was able to raise all the funds she needed to complete her 10th grade. She found common interests. She did her research before she called. She knew what her people that she was calling were interested in, and she was clear in helping them understand their investment would pay dividends. She was clear about her purpose at that point in her life, and she shared it with other people, and they were changed as a result of the encounter. John was talking about this kind of change in our lives. John was talking about living in a new way and understanding God in a new way. It's something we all have to come to in our own ways and our own times, and it may not mean that we have to learn the art of negotiation, but learning to understand God as one who calls us to be different, to build the kingdom of heaven in this time and place, learning to realize that God welcomes us for who we are, with our fears and our hopes and our dreams, learning to understand God as one who gathers us around tables, whether we're in a community like this, or in a war zone, in a church basement, in someone else's home. God calls us to these humble, holy places to share this dream of a life filled with hope and peace. God nourishes us with food for our spirits and our bodies. God challenges us with words of scripture and examples of people who have come before us and who are with us. And so may we be more bold in our proclamation of this God who welcomes even us to the table. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.